podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Here we go, it's the Cop Hype Podcast.
What's happening, everyone? Welcome back to another Cop Hype Podcast. I'm Mick, joined by Jay. And we just thought we'd do a little off-the-cuff one to have a chat about the news today about a certain Ibrahima Konaté. So I'll just throw that up there quick for you. That's from the BBC. So that's, is that the right way for you? Oh, are you just poking around the side? I thought it was the wrong way around. Yeah, so yeah, 35 mil. I think it's either 35 mil or 36 mil. Long-term deal. 22-year-old. Yeah, what's your initial thoughts on that, Jay, from that news today about the signing?
Is he good on FIFA?
Don't get into that again, do you? Fucking hell.
I was really, really impressed, mate. I'm glad we're going for those type of targets. I'm really pleased because, obviously, he's young. He's really good in the air, which was one of the things that we love about Virgil van Dijk. He wins practically every ball that comes in. And it's nice to have a partner that will do that as well. That's no slight on Joe Gomez, absolutely not. But obviously Joe does sort of more of the ground level work in terms of the pace and tracking back as well. So it's great that we'll have two massive lads at centre-half, which is what you want really, isn't it? But really excited by him because we've seen him play the odd game for Leipzig. Obviously it wasn't against us, but you know, as me and you like to keep an eye on the German league, that's what we do. It's been quite exciting, but one of the things I love is how he's developed at Leipzig, and they're very good at developing players, as we know, because we've had quite a few Leipzig players in the past. It's really good, but this depth is what I'm so happy with. He's going to add real quality depth to it. And again, it's no slight on anybody that we've had, because we've seen centre-backs step up to the plate and make some quite surprising performances, Alan Ack Phillips and Reece Williams, latter part of the third. But no, mate, really excited by it. And just getting business done early, mate. You know what I mean? The season's not even been over a week and we've already got another player, which is great. And it's like Fabinho all over again. So, yeah, very excited.
Yeah, I know it's mad, isn't it? Because I put a tweet up earlier, like, oh, it's 3 years since we signed Fabinho. And obviously that news came after one of the worst games ever. And that was kind of to temper the blow, wasn't it? And now, obviously, we've had a bit of a mad season, still finished third. And now we've got this news on top of it. Obviously, that means that Kabak's going to go back to Schalke or whatever, and it remains to see what's going to be happening with Nat Phillips and whatever else. But it's a good sign, isn't it? Like you said, he's only just turned 22. He's 6'4". He's good on the ball. I mean, let's before we get into, I didn't want to be negative, but there's been a lot of question marks over his body and his injury record, which I've got a screenshot of that we can have a look at in a bit. But let's just have a look at what he said today on joining the Reds. So he said he's really happy to be joining such a massive club like Liverpool. It's an exciting moment for me. Obviously, there's an under-21s European Championships of France coming up, so he's looking forward to that. And yeah, he's saying that the work at Leipzig has helped him grow into the player that he is. And it's like you said, Jay, it's that progression that he's made through that team. Obviously, I think it was at Sochaux in League Two before them, which, I mean, Klopp also said earlier in his little chat, he said that he watched them from those days. And it's quite telling, isn't it? And it's not a surprise that these type of players have been on the radar for that amount of time. I mean, Klopp says here that after the injury problems we've had this season in the centre-half position, there's no doubt it was clear that was an area of the team we needed to strengthen. But I first have to say that the job that Nat recent Ozan did was incredible and unbelievable. And he said that he can come, Konaté can come straight in. Like you said, he's quick, he's strong, and he's dominant in the air. And he can come in and do a job straight away, which is, that's what we want to hear, isn't it? I mean, he's only 20, just turned 22, but we want someone who's going to come in and do a job straight away, don't we? We need someone who's going to come straight in there and go and command the position and go, right, I'm going to play as best as I can to be keeping the likes of Joe Gomez and the likes of Joel Matip out of the team.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And again, it goes back to what I said at the beginning, it's about depth. But, you know, having depth in those positions is so important. It's one of the things that Man City have always done in terms of having depth in their centre-back positions. Now, don't get me wrong, not every centre-back that City have had has always worked out, thankfully. But you know, they've always buying that app. Shut up, Chris Brack. Plan him. by the way, for hitting that milestone of 10K. So really made up for that for everybody at Day Trippers, apart from Chris Brack. So I think it's just, like you said, mate, he'll slot right in there, and there'll be that question mark of who starts the season with Van Dijk. That's going to be the big question. And Joe Gomez, it will definitely keep him on his toes. Not like he needs to be kept on his toes anyway, because Matip was certainly in the latter part of the squad after Gomez got injured. So it's nice that we're going to have sort of like three new centre-halves for the season, you know what I mean? I hate using that, you know, analogy in terms of, oh, it's going to be like a new signing. I don't like using that, but because we missed out on so much of Gomez and Van Dijk, this is going to be really, really good. And again, that first game of the season will be telling to what Klopp wants to do for the rest of the season. Because again, with Gomez, we thought that it'd be Van Dijk and Gomez for the next few years, but it's shown that we do need that added depth. I might just think that Konate might not play as much as what we think just because of his age and to bed him into the squad. But we'll know that first game of the season, because if he starts the season, that first day of the Premier League campaign, and he started with Van Dijk, then you know damn well that's the pipeline of what he wants to do.
Yeah, and it's mad, isn't it, that he's actually 2 years younger than Joe Gomez. That is mental. Like, the these players, don't we, who have got a big ceiling. And I mean, he hasn't played that much for Leipzig as much recently. I've got a few more stats here for us to have a look at. I'll just take this comment.
You are the stat man, mate. That's what I'll
take this comment off from Dan, just so it's not black and everything. So last year, 21 games, year before that, 11. And then 43 in 18-19. Obviously, then there's a Liverpool layer with zero, yeah, but that remains to see how many games he plays for us. But it kind of, yeah, that's a bit of a weird one, because we know he didn't play against us in the Champions League, and I don't know if that was injury or whatever, but he was on the bench, I think, for the second leg or both legs, was he?
No, yeah, he didn't play in either game. Again, what people got to think about is, oh, he had his injury record is shocking and all that sort of stuff, and he was out for nearly 100 days with a torn muscle. But a lot of that was the summer. Do you know what I mean? So he'd done that. That is one of his biggest injuries, was done during the summer.
I've got the graphic here, Jay. So let's have a little look while you're talking.
There we go. So let's look at that. So if you'll have a look at the 96 days there, that was from July till October. So in essence, say that was us, and touch wood, that never happens for us. You're missing the first part of the season, then you're raring to go then. And we're more than capable of coping if that had happened to us. So, you know, but again, you're looking at the repetitiveness of it. It's the same thing again. You know, he was out for over 200 days in 1920, which obviously is a little bit worrying and stuff like that. But I think it's getting to the point now where it doesn't look like he's aggravated that for a while now, and he's getting back in. And I think injuries can happen. We've seen this from Van Dijk. You can be the fittest player and have an injury that ruins you, and you're out for the season. I don't think we should read too much into his injury record. I really don't, because I don't think it's something that we should be overly worried about, because we go back to the Nabil Fekir thing. He was a fantastic talent, don't get me wrong, Nabil Fekir. I didn't really know too much about him until we started getting linked with him, and obviously that's when you start paying attention, don't you? And then the medical issue, and it just never happened. And the club know what they're doing. They're not going to look at a player and buy a player like this without thinking, oh, is he injury prone? And that's all you've got to worry about. For everybody out there who's questioning his injury record, look at what we did with Nabil Fekir. Sort of the same money. We looked at it, nearly signed him, looked at it one last time and gone, yeah, not really sure about that injury. It might happen again, blah, blah, blah. Let's just not bother. The club know what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think even if once Konate signs and if Matip sticks around, and we've still got Nat Phillips as well, if Nat Phillips is willing to stick around, I do still think it'd be mad if we didn't start the season with five options just to kind of like... Yeah, Van Dijk, Gomez and Matip all coming back. There's going to be a bit of bedding in period in terms of getting back fit and match sharp and whatever else. So Konate is going to be like kind of the main fella, isn't he? In terms of like he's coming in fresh. He's going to be expected to kind of be like pretty much an ever-present in there until the point, obviously, it depends how fast Van Dijk and Gomez and whoever else get back. But there's going to be a bit of, I wouldn't say pressure, but yeah, there's going to be a bit of, I can't think of the word, like a bit of expectancy on him to kind of lead the way in terms of us not being completely there yet at centre-half with the fellas being out still.
Yeah, that's true, mate. But it's a great start, isn't it? And I just want to put what Chris Bracker said before. I know you put it in before, but Konaté is an excellent start and interesting to see how we reshape the squad. He's not buying the locals, saying that we aren't getting a midfielder this summer. Yeah, no, I agree on that, mate. The thing is, a lot of the local journalists, they have to say stuff like this, don't they? Because their interest is to protect the club from the fact that, oh, yeah, you know, Liverpool are definitely in for Thiago. This is what happened last year. No one ever said that. They said they're not interested in that because it plays it down and it sort of keeps the price down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you don't show your cards, do you, when you're doing a deal? And you don't say, right, I've got £100 million to spend. Who wants to? Okay, yeah, well, this one player will cost you £100 million. It doesn't work like that. So whenever people are saying, oh, yeah, they're saying it's not happening and don't kick off because a journalist says, oh, it's not happening, it's because they've got to keep it on the quiet. They really have. And then, poof, you know, a signing comes out of nowhere, doesn't it? How many times are we heard that Liverpool aren't interested in Konaté? And the fine we're going for with Nat Phillips and Reece Williams and Gomez will be back. And look what we've done. So, I agree with Chris. I don't think we should sit back. I think Konaté is only the start of our summer business, mate. And it's good that we're doing it at the start of the summer as well.
Yeah, yeah, because obviously it's been identified for a long time, hasn't he? And I think we've done it really well, like getting Kabak in on a short term, see what he's made of, see how he fits in, if he's adaptable to what we're doing. And he done great, didn't he? He done really well. Obviously, then he got injured towards the end, so he didn't play. But then having Konaté as the ultimate sight, having Kabak maybe as an option as well, then if the Konaté thing goes ahead, then you go, right, well, the Kabak deal is only a temporary. So it's like, that's the way you run a business. And that's why we're so, like, I've been reading quite a few, like, rival fans' tweets today about it all, like Man United fans saying, oh, Liverpool again, like, setting down the market, getting the business done nice and early and making us, like, a stronger squad already for next year. And we haven't even, the season's just finished, like you said. So it's promising signs, isn't it?
Oh yeah, and I love this. This is the old Liverpool. This is Liverpool doing stuff without it being plastered all over media and being embarrassed by Southampton and having to do public apologies. You know what I mean? Because too many people talk shit. You know, this is how we used to do it back in the day. Yeah. And this is what I love. I just love signings just popping up from nowhere. You know, the Thiago one didn't really pop up from nowhere because everyone was talking about it. But the Jota one certainly did. That was just that just came out of nowhere, didn't it? So I love that sort of stuff. And it wouldn't surprise me if we get another one before the Euros start, because this is so important to try and get business done before the Euros, just to see what happens. You know what I mean? Make sure that, you know, there's no distractions and there's sagas that go on over the summer, and you want to get them in and ready. I don't think the business is done though. Do you? I think we've there's going to be more to come.
Yeah. Well, Aiden's just put in a comment there, like genie replacements and proper striker needed at minimum. Yeah, and I think the fact that we've done this business so quickly, it gives us a huge chunk of time, doesn't it, to kind of not identify people, because there'll be a list of fucking God knows how long, but to kind of work through them and go, right, who's going to be best price if we sell? It's going to be obviously a case of who we sell as well, how much money's in the bank. The more we sell, the better it's going to be. But it's going to be another Jota or Fabinho, isn't it, coming in? I reckon there's one that you think, yeah, they're a good player, but you don't realise just how promising they are until they arrive at the club. It's like Konaté, people are going, oh, he's got injury worries. Oh, it's like when I put a tweet up on the Cop Out earlier, the first few comments were, has anyone looked at his injury record? And it's like, why the doom and gloom? Like, just like, go, right, yeah, he's had some injury problems. Yeah, that's fine. But comes to a new club, that can all change, and he's a young kid still. So,
I mean, if I got that injury nowadays at my age, of course I'd be out for 7 years. But like with him, he's a young lad, he'll crack on, won't he? And I'm sure he'll be absolutely fine, be raring to go, and he'll be so excited about this. And it's so important that we did make that fourth spot, because, you know, he could have turned around and gone, you know, he probably does want to play for Liverpool, don't get me wrong. We've been brilliant over the past few years, and what player wouldn't want? And of course, you don't want players who don't want to play for the club just because they've not got Champions League football. I do get that. But having fourth place does give us that added advantage of going for different type of names. And we spoke to Neil Jones, didn't we, the other week from Goal, and he said that, you know, we're looking at Bissouma. That's an option for us as well, which I'm sure everyone would say yes to. Tielemans has been talked about as the Gini Wijnaldum replacement or the Keita replacement. So yeah, they're exciting names as well. And I would love to get a striker. Me as a lover of strikers and an ex-crap striker with a left foot myself, I always want a good striker. So I'd be interested to see who we bring up top, because I do think that Mane, Salah and Firmino do need extra help, as well as having Jota. I think we need another person to... Well, that's been spoken about loads, hasn't it? But yeah, excited about Konaté, mate.
Yeah, but like you said, though, we've got the main three, which are obviously all going to stick around, I hope, anyway. And then we've got Jota as well. We get another one in there as like a player coming off the bench who's of similar quality and isn't like a Shaq, who's obviously quality, and Origi can be good, but it's not quite the same, is it? We need like a like-for-like swap, and the amount of games we're going to be playing next year, we need to be as strong as we can to kind of just blast this season and just go... and just get rid of it and just kind of start fresh. Have five strikers options and have five defensive options, and then obviously another midfielder, and that's just like a minimum, isn't it? Like Aiden said earlier, that's a minimum, and then we can kind of maybe get a few more in, hopefully, as well, to add to that.
Yeah, though, that's how City do it. How many times do we see City's lineup and we go, God, look at their bench?
Yeah.
And it's just envy. I know we can't compete in terms of money and stuff like that, but we can certainly build a squad that's more than capable of having like-for-like swaps and, you know, two, at least half of the squad in two really good players for each position. So it's definitely doable. And, I say we've not got the money in terms of City's money. Of course we haven't, but we've done really well over the last few years where I think we've got a bit of dollar in the bank now. And I do think last summer was a bit of an anomaly because of COVID and all that sort of stuff. Things might change this year, I don't know. I do think it'll maybe be a little bit easier. Obviously, today has been proven, so that's just gone, yeah, bang, this thing. That has probably been a pound up front and, you know, 50p a week for the next 50 years that we might have lived. So it's really good and exciting, mate. But yeah, just once you get a new player, you're like, I want the season to start now. You know what I mean? But what squad numbers are you going to get? You know, we do the squad number show. That's going to eat me for the next fucking... few weeks until he decides. That's going to do my head in.
Yeah, like I know there was. That's one of the first things I looked at, to be honest. I got onto the website and was like, what number is he going to be? And it just said released in due course. So I'm just trying to think, what could he be? We might as well talk about it because we both fucking love squad numbers.
The obvious answer is five, isn't it? That's the obvious answer with Genie leaving and his draft. That's the obvious answer. I think he was six at Leipzig, wasn't he? If I'm wrong. Yeah, he's not getting Thiago's number. You can't even get the ball off Thiago, let alone his fucking squad number. So that's what happened. So I think he'd be number five, mate. I really do. Yeah, that'd be.
Yeah, yeah. Just not like sort of mad. I mean, like we had number fives had a bit of a mad pass for Liverpool on it, like Milan Baros.
Whoa! Don't tell him. Just refer them to squad number show number five.
If you haven't seen, we do a show. We haven't done it for about 14 years, but there's a we've got a squad number show, and we're up to we've done number five about a year ago. Yeah. We haven't done six yet. When Thiago got signed, we were like, right, number six, come on, we're gonna do it. And then we're gonna do it. We didn't ever do it. I've still got it wrote out on this bad boy ready to do it. We just haven't fucking got around to doing it, but we will. Well, to be honest, we should. If he's number five, we could just go back to number five and go. And another player, Ibrahim Konaté. Just add him on the end. But let's have a look through these comments because there's been fucking loads here. To be honest, let's have a look. Chat about this. Man United in Europa League. Not everyone can have a keeper who can score crucial goals. Before you came on, Jay, I was trying with all my might to try and get that Moreno clip as a video. You know, he's like, get out. It's like, oh my god, absolutely love it. But yeah, I celebrated that like it was a Liverpool, like every time Villarreal stepped up for a pen, it was like Liverpool was stepping up for a pen. That's how much I was just fucking pumped for that. And then when De Gea missed, yeah, it made that made the season like kind of nicely rounded, didn't it? Like getting into the top four, you're thinking you're Man United are definitely going to be Villarreal, surely, and they don't. So that was a nice little booster, weren't it?
It was indeed, mate. I enjoyed that. I was watching the penalties and my heart was going, like, not from a neutral because I just really didn't want Manchester United getting a... Sorry, to quote Trey from United Twitter or whatever, European champions. I didn't want them to become European champions. But yeah, no, great. And, you know, fair play for Moreno. What he did. Similar to like what Mascherano did in 2011. when Barcelona beat United, and after the pit on the pitch at Wembley, he said that was Liverpool fans as well. I'm like, oh, Javier,
love it.
You know what I mean? Yeah, really pleased for Villa, and the fact it was their first ever trophy as well. You know, respectable club, that a really good club, well run. And fair play to winning their first trophy. And what a first trophy as well. Let's face it. I mean, I know the Europa League doesn't have as much pedigree these days as what it used to when it was the UEFA Cup. But, you know, when we won it in 2001, mate, it was massive then. I think everything's been diluted these days, hasn't it, because of money. The FA Cup's the exact same. But, you know, fair play. Fair play. We wanted to win that bugger in 2016 and we didn't. So, yeah, if we ended up in it again this next season, which, thank God we're not. I don't know. Contradicting. I don't want to win it because, you know, it's always good, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you're just going to get out. You never walk alone.
I love that, reader. Hey, that's three good comments you're putting already.
100% fucking hit right there with that. But Dan's just put a comment in. Obviously, you've just been talking before about, like, you love a striker and whatever else. He's just put a comment in about, don't think we sign an out-and-out striker, more likely a versatile forward with big potential like Pedro Goncalves. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, we might as well have a little chat about it. I know we haven't got too much long left, but before we go...
I think Dan's got a really good point, as Dan does most times he's on this podcast with us. He's absolutely spot on. I would love a Robbie Fowler, a Fernando Torres, who just gets the ball and you just know he's going to put it in the back of the net. Don't get me wrong, I know we've got that in Salah and Mane. We really, really have, because of their form, especially Salah's. But you know what I'm talking about, that Werner, that Haaland-type footballer, that I would really, really like that, just because Jota's shown it as well when he's played. And I'd like to see Jota in the middle a little bit more next season. But I would just love that type of player. But again, Dan's spot on. It'd probably more likely be a versatile forward because that's what Klopp likes to play. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think it will be just a player who can... He likes a player who can play in all the three, doesn't he? And that's ideal for
French,
us.
That French lad, what's he called? He plays for that French team in France.
Dacha, do you mean?
Oh, no. He wears number 7. Oh, what's he called?
Oh, Mbappe, I thought you were taking the piss.
Well, I was taking the piss, wasn't I? Because, of course, I know who Mbappe is.
No, but I thought it was some, like, little fucking, I don't know, like...
Well, like, was doing all these questions, trying to catch you out? No, not today, mate. that'd be interesting, you know what I mean? I think the Mbappe thing, that's not going away. So, who would be your guy's realistic choice for striker? Oh, fucking Haaland all day. All day. And the only reason why I say that is because... if the Harry Kane thing continues and he goes to City, I don't think Haaland goes to City. And I don't think Haaland goes to Manchester United either. I think Haaland looks at, you know, maybe Real Madrid. I don't know. Maybe they're not at that level of where he wants to be. But if he's going to look over here, he's going to look at City and he's going to look at Liverpool. I think it's one of those two. And I do think Haaland's a realistic choice if Harry Kane goes to Manchester City.
That's, I mean, it's going to be, it is, I mean, you, I think you said the other week about, like, it's going to be a domino effect. Because if so, it's going to be the first one to take the punt, and then they sign someone, then they're going to sell someone to someone else going to go somewhere else. So it's going to be that, because everyone's got a bit more limited funds this summer than they normally or usually have. So Chris just put a comment in there, Haaland staying for another season in his own words, but I mean, he says that, but you just don't know, do you? You just
it that keeps his value up, because if he came out and said, I want to leave, a bit like Harry Kane has, then Daniel Levy now has no power. Do you know what I mean? I mean, he can turn around and say, you're not leaving for less than how many, but then he's just going to have a miserable player then, and nobody wants a miserable player on the books. So Haaland will say, oh yeah, I'm staying, but that just keeps his transfer value up, because... He's already said he's staying, and Liverpool or whoever goes for him would have to offer a little bit more, because if he said I want to leave, then the price comes down.
Exactly. I think that's why Harry Kane's done a bit of a mad one there, having an interview with Gary Neville on a golf course. That was fucking bizarre. That was like, what is basically saying he wants to leave, and then Gary Neville's just going, oh, what about Man United? It's like, fucking hell, this is cringe worthy.
It was awkward how Harry Kane kept putting his putter resting on his cock. And he was just stood there like that. But the putter was resting between his legs. And I was like, yeah, the camera's like pan back, mate.
fucking hell. Right, Joe, yeah,
there's quite a few options in there. The Leeds player, Rafinha, I think he's been fantastic for Leeds. And Leeds in a position now where they're good enough to stay in this league, again, without making any signings, in my opinion, because I think they've got a really, really good squad. But Rafinha could leave, giving them quite a big transfer kitty to go out and develop again and start again like they did many, many moons ago. Rafinha could be a really nice option as well. We could do a full transfer window podcast on this shit, couldn't we? Fucking hell. Especially from these lads in the comments. It's been fucking brilliant. My mind's running now. I'm getting well excited. Can we start the new fucking season, please?
Well, Chris, just put another one there. Rafinha in and Lone Elliott to Leeds. That'd be fucking...
Nothing on Harvey Elliott, that is it. That's nothing. That's just another Premier League experience. He's still young.
Yeah, and I think Rafinha is 24. He's Brazilian. I think he's good mates with Bobby Firmino. We had a chat with Bobby before he joined Leeds, apparently, I read last week. So, and that's what I've seen of him for this year for Leeds. Fucking hell, he's just a boss. He is like a Mahrez, isn't he? But I feel like he's got a bit more pace and a bit more about him. That I imagine that already that he's already got there, and then you're throwing Jurgen Klopp managing him. It's just like could be baffling how good he could be for a bigger team. Obviously, he's done boss for them, and I don't know how much he wants to stay there. But he's only just signed, didn't he, last year? I think it was. So he's only brand new. So, it depends, because if Leeds go right, well, if we can get fucking mega bucks for him, and then we can use that on other players and strengthen the whole squad as a core, and it's going to keep us in the league for longer. Then that's an option that they've got to think about, isn't it?
Of course it is, mate. Of course it is. And Chris has just said there, no slight on Elliot. Prem loan and the next step. I agree with that, mate. He definitely is the next step to try and loan him, get him some Premier League experience. I think that's what the club were trying to do with Harry Wilson. But obviously, we know Harvey Elliott's a much better player. And I'm so excited for him to come, because my wife was asking the other day of who he was, because my wife's sister sold Harvey Elliott his house, and she don't know now about football. So when she told me, I was like, all right, yeah, sound. Anyway, that besides the point. I said he's going to be like the next big thing in terms of an English product. You know, I consider him, you know, Wayne Rooney's a once-in-a-generation talent. Michael Owen was a once-in-a-generation talent coming up, both of them coming up at such young ages. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is I think he will hit the ground running at such a young age, and it's really, really exciting. I'm so glad we have him. Doug Out has said, will we get Bissouma from Brighton? James Pearce says not him from, but Romano says we are. Again, it goes from Pearce. We'll always deny a transfer rumour, again, to protect the club's interest and protect, because that's what he needs to do. If they say they're independent, they're really, really not. Romano hasn't got any ties with the club in that way, so he doesn't need to protect any transfer fees. So, and he's not close to the club. But again, how often is Romano that wrong? I don't want to say it fully, because stuff can change, but yeah, I think Klopp knows what he's doing. Like you said before, Mickey, he presumes he's a talented player, and so does Tielemans. I wouldn't be surprised if phone calls have been made.
Well, if you think about it, like the list for centre half that we've just been, probably Klopp and the scouting team have been looking through, would have been as long as your arm. Every position will be the same. Like our scouting network and department is too good for it not to be. These players will be on the list, of course they will. It's just about whether what funds are available, what he wants to do with the squad. Like we've said before, this summer's going to be quite a big one, really, in terms of all his fringe players and who's going to come in, who's going to leave. And I think it's all dependent on if one goes right. Say Ox, for example, goes, right, boys, I've had a great time. It's been boss. I've had a load of injuries, but I've won loads of stuff. But I want to go and venture out and play first team footy as much as I can. We'd be like, yeah, that's absolutely fine, because you deserve that. Then triggers, right, we now need to get our fucking pedal to the metal in terms of getting someone in faster. And it might be like a case of, right, well, we need to get someone in quick. And then you go, right, who's you on? Definitely. There you go. But if that's not the case, then you might get someone else in who's a bit younger. Do you see what I mean? Like, because at Ox, you'd have to get someone in who's ready to come in and be a squad player now. Or you might go, oh, let's have a look a bit further down the list. Who's going to be good in 2-3 years or 1 to 2 years? And things like that, where it's so layered that it all depends on what we do, doesn't it? In terms of ins and outs as well.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And the whole Wijnaldum situation is a big factor in this, because there's no way the club would let a player like that go who's got great talent, still got a good couple of years left in him, if we didn't have someone else lined up. And Gini's obviously said, didn't he, that you know he'll tell the reasons why he left and all that sort of stuff when the time's right. So there is something interesting there. There's something that's gone on, which is, again, it beggars belief what's gone on. But again, the club know what they're doing. It's ran smartly in terms of that. So, it wouldn't surprise me that we've already got that player lined up to replace Wijnaldum, because we will buy someone. I don't think that they'll rest the laurels on Jones and all that, because I think Jones was the Lallana replacement. I still think we've got to get someone to replace Gini. Unfortunately, I think Naby Keita has played his last game for Liverpool just because it's not worked out for him. So that target's already been identified. I'm just excited to see who it's revealed. I'll be sat having a shit one day, not knowing anything, and you'll text me going, so-and-so signed. I'll be like, what?
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's the way Liverpool do business now. I mean, the Canate one wasn't hush-hush like the Fabinho or Jota one was as much, where no one had an idea, but it will be something like that. I mean, Chris just said they're talking Ruben Neves, and Doug said as well, Ruben Neves doesn't score simple goals, always bangers. I'm on this move totally, still 23-2. There's just loads in there. We've done that 31 minutes there, and we were going to do 10 minutes talking about fucking Canate, but...
Naby Bailey played his first game for Liverpool. He's fucking right. He really is. I think it's something like, I'm sure it's less than, is it less than 50? It can't, do you know what? That would frighten me if it's less than 50 appearances. Find that out, Mick. I remember being at Anfield for his first game against West Ham, and we beat them 4-0, and I was looking going, I was like, Jesus Christ, what a fucking player this man is. I was like, we've got a fucking player here. After waiting a year for him, you're like, yes. And it was just, it's ours. It really is. I'm gutted for him, because it is an absolute shame. Go on, have you found it?
Yeah, so he's played 53 in his 3 years in the league. That is, so wow. 76 in all comps. So to be, yeah, like, it's not horrendous. It's just, it's always the same, isn't it? Like, we'd always say, like, on pods, like, he's looking good, and then he gets up to a level, and then he's like, yeah, right, there we go. Naby Keita, he's fucking running after everything. He's creating stuff. He's scoring goals and whatever else. Then he falls over and you go, oh, then he's out for 3 months or a month or whatever. And it's like, it's just a vicious circle, and we can't, I don't know. I mean, he has got time on his side. I don't know if it, I'm not sure if it will be his last game. I think Klopp might persist for another year with him and see what happens. But I think he's got time on his side in terms of that. But we just, yeah, well, like Chris says there, Jamie Redknapp, he makes Jamie Redknapp look durable, which, yeah, I agree. But I just think, I don't know. I mean, I'm just being a naive bastard and thinking that he can just kind of leave all that behind and just be more durable overnight. That's just me being optimistic. But yeah, I do hope he stays, but I wouldn't also be surprised if he left.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a shame. It really is. There's quite a lot to talk about him, but again, we'll probably do a Naby Keita farewell thank you video, which will be after fucking time with Gini. But yeah, it's just exciting, isn't it, to be in this position? The fact that we've got Champions League football, we can say goodbye to that season, let's reset and let's go again. And the names are going to get linked with us left, right and centre, because they all want to play. I like what Chris Kelly said before. Ward-Prowse hasn't missed a game in 2 seasons. It adds to the English list and his great delivery set pieces. Yep. Absolutely. Wouldn't say no to Ward-Prowse. I wouldn't say no to another decent English player. I really like the fact that we've got that good nucleus of English players, which is really, really good. And for more chance of me and Jay getting along than Naby being absolutely true. And the thing is, fucking Chris don't live that far from me as well. So I'll tell you what, Chris, me and you will meet up for a beer and we'll film it. And we'll put it on this episode, and we'll
I'll just tag along with my phone.
Yeah, you tag along, mate. Absolutely.
It'd just be like one of them, you know, those like videos, like on like a Twitter page, like where it's like the ultimate fights, and it's like someone jumps out of a car with the phone, and people are just fucking throwing like haymakers at each other. That's what it'll be.
You know what? I don't even know where it's coming from. He just started abusing me randomly on here. And then I've gone, right, okay, National Pal, appreciate it. But anyway, Lucas's king is coming with a belt of a shout here. No matter who we find, Lucas still won the transfer window for consecutive seasons. Absolutely fucking will. And not sure if that's an invite or a threat. Well, I'll play Prison Rules, read into that what you want. Chris said, I think FSU will make Klopp choose between Oxford and Naby as a meet weight Sunderland. Yeah, I agree with that. I think there'll be one of them will go. It's more likely going to be Naby. I think it says everything when the Ox, even though I think Ox made 17 appearances this season, which is obviously a hell of a lot less than Naby. I think Naby did about 35. And we saw more from the Ox in terms of the cameos that he had. He obviously fucking scored a goal as well in a lot of stages, and he could have played Naby in certain games, and he didn't. He played the Ox instead. So I think for me, that says everything.
It says a lot on it. I think, the Ox, got, like you said, scored a goal, but scored a good goal. And if he's happy to stick around, then we'd be silly not to go, right? Yeah, we're happy for you to stick around. And if you can come in and play that, came on like as a false nine, didn't he, a couple of times as well? So if you can kind of get that position down a little bit, then it's better for us, isn't it, surely?
Correct, mate. Doug's just come in and said, Jay, did the Dortmund win the Champions League that top? Technically, no. This was their home shirt that season. They had a different home shirt for the Champions League, so they had a European shirt that they wore it in. It was more sort of black down the sides. Really nice top, to be fair. And that was the Lars Ricken game, which was fantastic. He came on as a substitute, and within 10 seconds, with his first touch, he lobbed the Juventus keeper from quite far out. So that's why that Dortmund game is even more famous, and Lars Ricken is a hero. And incidentally, Karl-Heinz Riedler scored in that game as well, which we then signed in the summer. Sorry.
Belter. Well, yeah, Jay, I was going to leave it on this comment, what you've put up already. No matter who we buy, the Blues will still win the transfer window for consecutive seasons. That's what's going to happen anyway. So it doesn't matter, because they'll go top for a game, and they'll bring out a song, and it'll get top. It'll be number one, and then they'll shit the pants again, and we'll win the league. But we've done 37 minutes there. Fucking hell, let's leave it there, because we could go through these comments all fucking night. But yeah, they've been boss. Nice one, everyone, for jumping on. We've had Chris.
I'll do some more transfer reading, mate. Okay. Just going to do a bit more transfer research.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Well, yeah. Who's on the front of that, actually? Is that a Middlesbrough player? I remember that front cover.
Go on. Who are they? Go on.
Okay. So that's Nick Barmby, isn't it?
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah,
Red Knapp and obviously Ginola.
Yeah. Do you know what? There's been more of a stink back in the day, wouldn't there, about FIFA covers? Like, why is Red Knapp on the front of that? Why is Barmby on it? Why is Ginola? That's quite funny. So yeah, and it's full as well. I did fill it, by the way, just to let everybody know.
Well, if anyone out there is still collecting stickers for this year's, I'm still going. I've got 53. I need 53. I need 53, and I can only get me. I can only approach Panini to get the individual ones when I've got 50. So if anyone's got any stickers, I am still on the look. Look out. I mean, Yanni, you sorted me this boss print has sorted me out with some. But is there any other gimps out there like me who are sticker collecting at the age of 31, then yeah, give me a shout. We'll leave it there. Nice ones for all the comments. There's been some belters in there.
Lovely bank holiday, everybody.
What was that, sorry?
I said have a lovely bank holiday.
Oh yeah, have a good one. I'm off work. I know you're working today, aren't you? I'm not, so it's I've had a nice little chill day. That's why I've been having a beer at fucking 4:30 on a Friday when I should be working still, but I'm not in work, so it's all good. But we'll leave it there. Nice one, Jay, for jumping on. Nice one, everyone in the comments. You've been smashing there to celebrate the new Hi Lads, Bye Lads. By Gamer Porn, is that you? Welcome back, there.
Hi, yeah, it is.
Gamer Porn. We'll leave it there. We'll see you in a bit. I don't know when we're going to, with the season review or player ratings, or I don't even know what it is yet. If it's going to be player ratings, season review, best moments, best. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be
season review now. The first third was great. The middle third was shit. The last third was fucking brilliant. Alistair scored a goal. Delete the fucking season. See you next season. Done.
There we go. We'll clip those 6 seconds and we'll put that up just as a separate video. And people, you can go and watch that. Right, we're out of here. So we'll see you all in a bit. Ta-da. Sports Social Podcast Network.